Happy Sabbath, everyone. Good to see you. Robert, at last board meeting, said I should mix in a joke somewhere in the Sabbath, so somewhere in the sermon, so I'll try to accommodate that. One of the last sermons that I enjoyed was from young Israel. We talked about the chapter, book Philemon, and there was a issue there. There was a guy there that Paul was sending back to a guy that he owned him. You know, he owned this other man, Onesimus. And I guess he'd taken off. So I was thinking about the idea of ownership and respect for ownership. Does anybody know what the 10th commandment is? We're a Bible believing church here, right? Somebody here surely knows what the 10th commandment is, right? Not all at once. Thou shalt not covet, right? If you'd like to look at Exodus 20:17, it says, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ass, his ox or his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Sorry about saying ass twice there.
Three times.
That wasn't the joke. There's another one coming. I think that this particular commandment is where a lot of our other issues come from, you know. Wanting something that belongs to somebody else. That's what coveting is, right? You want something that belongs to somebody else. It's your neighbor's. It's your neighbor's donkey. I'll say donkey this time. It's your neighbor's manservant. Your neighbor's wife. You know? So once you start coveting your neighbor's wife, then what does that lead to? Then it leads to, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then you got to cover it up. Then you kill him, right? Like David did. So then you shall not kill. It's like a slippery slope that goes down the road of sin when you're wanting something that belongs to somebody else. In the book of James, he says, in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. This idea of lusting after something, wanting something that doesn't belong to you. He's saying this doesn't come from God. Don't say that this is coming from God. This is lust in your own heart. I think lust and coveting is basically the same thing. You're wanting something that belongs to someone else. We have a whole political philosophy that's based on this called communism. Take from those who have and give to those who don't. The idea is that they got it unjustly. That they got those things unjustly. She says, you should take from them because it's based on jealousy. Why do they have it and I don't? Right? Karl Marx said his idea was communism is basically defined as this. It's the abolition of private property. The ability to own something. I'd like to share with you a couple of stories about couple vineyard stories. One comes out of 1 Kings chapter 21. This is a story of a man named Naboth. It's during the time of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Naboth was a Jezreelite. That means he lived in the area of Jezreel. I looked up Jezreel and it means planted by God or sowed by God. When the children of Israel had entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, the children of the tribe of Joseph came to Joshua and they said, "The area that we have is not big enough. We need more territory. We're basically two tribes. We're not just Joseph. We're Manasseh and Ephraim." And Joshua said, "Well, there's Jezreel. Go down there and take it." God said, "Kick the Canaanites out, right? Take it. This is your part of your inheritance. You need to obtain it." Many years later, this man Naboth, he lives in this area, Jezreel. This is his inheritance. This is what God had given his family. King Ahab, who at this time is the king of Israel in Samaria, he sees Naboth's vineyard, which is adjacent to his palace. And he desires to have Naboth's vineyard. He wants to plant his own little herb garden there. So he goes to Naboth and he says to him, "Naboth, can I have your vineyard? I'll give you money, or I'll give you another vineyard. We'll make a deal." But Naboth tells him, he says, "No, this is my family's inheritance. We were given this by the Lord. I can't give you this. I can't take money for it. I can't trade you for it. This is special." I don't know if you noticed in the Bible that they keep track of the property real well. When Jeremiah was going to be taken, was it during the time when they were going to be taken captive into Babylon, God made a point of telling Jeremiah, he said, "Go and purchase this land and record it and make a note of it, because after the time of Babylon, you are going to be taken back here, and this property is still going to belong to you." When Jesus was born, they knew where their place was in Bethlehem Ephratah. They knew where to go because they knew where their inheritance was. So Naboth refuses to give Ahab the property. And Ahab goes back home and he's very distraught. He stops eating. He's laying there on his bed, and his lovely wife Jezebel, I'm being a little sarcastic there, she comes up to him and says, "Ahab, why are you so distraught?" And he explains to her, "Well, I tried to get Naboth to give me his vineyard, and he won't do it. He says, you know, it's not right with the Lord because it's his family's inheritance. He treasures it. He's not like Esau, who's just going to sell away his birthright for nothing." Jezebel tells him, she says, "Hey, aren't you the king of Israel? Don't worry. I'll take care of this. Cheer up. Go eat some food and turn yourself around, because I'm going to make this happen for you." So she gets some letters together, and she writes them in the name of King Ahab, and she sends it out to the nobles and the princes there and Jezreel, the elders of the area. And she says, "Hey, let's proclaim a fast and bring up Naboth basically on trial, and get us a couple of sons of Belial, they call them, a couple of wicked guys to come up and falsely testify against him. And then we'll kill him. And then you can have his vineyard." And so she does this. And the people go along with it. They get a couple of people to bear false witness against them. See, first he started off with coveting his vineyard. Now he's bearing false witness against his neighbor. He's making this happen. His neighbor, Naboth, is murdered. Then Ahab comes down to take possession of the vineyard. But there's this prophet named Elijah that God sends over to him, and he goes to sends him to Ahab, and he says, "What are you doing? He says, the blood that you shed at Naboth, in the same place as the blood of your descendants is going to be licked up. And Jezebel too. Ahab, he hears this and he kind of repents. He repents. And he puts on sackcloth and ashes and he tells Elijah one more time. He tells him to go back and he says, you know what? Since he repented and he's sorry, I'm going to make this happen in the time of his children. But he's going to be cut off. His inheritance is going to be completely annihilated. And this is important. The line of Ahab is completely gone. He says it's similar in the same way as Jeroboam, the one that had been the first king of Israel after the tax revolt in the early time there. I believe this story is important because it makes it, you need to understand that the inheritance of God is important. This is an important principle. God says Jesus says in the Beatitudes, the meek shall inherit what? The earth. God has an inheritance for His people. This is demonstrated in the story. The second vineyard story I'd like to share with you is found in Matthew chapter 20. This is a parable that Jesus tells. He says, for the kingdom of heaven, starting with verse 1, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a householder, which when he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And when he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. So when he was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, the last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered unto them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. It's an interesting parable that Jesus gives the people, and I think, you know, the penny represents life. He's given them life, eternal life. And you have people coming in at different stages. So one might say, well, what I should do is I can just live life, my own wicked life as I please till the very end, and I'll come at the 11th hour and come skating in. You know, this is the point of the parable, maybe. I think the point of the parable for me is something a little different. Although God can offer salvation to people at different points in their life, for me, the sooner the better. Because the sooner you do, the more blessed you are. But there's an important concept here in this story. Is the vineyard belongs to God. Should we say, You know, why are you going to give that guy salvation? Why are you going to offer it to him? I've worked harder. It goes back to the concept and the principle of ownership. We need to respect what is God's. When Jonah was called to go and preach at Nineveh, he didn't want to. When Nineveh received mercy, Jonah was upset. Why would Jonah be upset that somebody receives grace and mercy? Should we be upset for that? Well, for one thing, they belong to God. They don't belong to us anyway. They're property of God. We make agreements with God. That's called a covenant. We have a covenant relationship with God, right? God made a covenant with him. Come work for me and I'll give you your penny. I'll give you eternal life. Everything belongs to God. It is his right to do with it as he pleases. I think this is a very important concept to understand. It affects how you treat people. If somebody belongs to God, shouldn't you love them? That person belongs to God. Your children. We think, oh, those are my children. They come from God. Rush Limbaugh says, I don't know if I can quote it exactly, but he says something like, on loan from God, something or whatever. He says, I'm on loan from God. All our lives are on loan from God. It sounds kind of egotistical when you hear him say it, I think, a little bit. But I think there's some truth to it, because we all have talents. We all have things that we can do. They're on loan from God. They come from God. You turn with me to Matthew 5:33. It says, this is about taking oaths. Matthew 5:33 through 5:35. In this verse, he's advising not to give oaths. There was once a man in Judges, in the book of Judges, named Jephthah. And this guy, he made an oath, and he's to the Lord. He says, "If you, Lord, will deliver me, the children of Ammon, I will sacrifice to you the first thing that walks through my door." Turns out to be his daughter. We have to be careful when we want to promise or sacrifice something that doesn't belong to us. Jesus says in these verses, he says, "And again, you have heard that it hath been said in the time of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." All these things belong to God. Even the hairs of your head, you have no control of them. I would go for white or black instead of none, but either way. We don't have the right to swear by something that belongs to God. This is a perspective, I think, I talked a little bit about communism, and then, it's the abolition of private property. Everything belongs, with communism, everything belongs to the state. Well, somebody ends up in control of the state, just like King Ahab, and they use it for their own purposes and their own desires and their own lusts. But when you understand what the commandments, not to lust after what belongs to somebody else, and what God has given them, and be jealous of them, but have respect and love for what God has given them, and the understanding that everything belongs to God anyway. Even our own hairs of our head belong to the Lord. Jesus in his prayer, he says, this is how you pray at the end, right? He says, not my will, but thine be done, right? When we're saying that, what are we doing? We're saying, my life is not as important as what your will is. I subject my will to your will. You have authority over me. I belong to you. I believe God owns us all. There's two different ways that God can own us. He created us. This is kind of getting into the logic here, right? God created you. Therefore, He owns you. Right? Do you agree with that? He created the earth, therefore He owns it. He created the heavens, therefore He owns them. There's a scientist that he came to God and he said, you know, we figured out how to create life. And God said, okay, well, let's see it. And the scientist reaches down to pick up some dirt to form into man. And God says, no, go get your own dirt. They can't really do that, by the way. Even if they use God's dirt. The other way that God owns us is through redemption. For those of us who have accepted the Lord, we've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. Everything that we have comes from God. He gives us everything that we have. I read a little bit to you out of James earlier, chapter 1, and ended with verse 15. But I'll pick up again here at verse 16 of James chapter 1. He says, don't err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The things that we have come from God. He wants to give us good gifts. The things we've established that everything belongs to God, but He wants to impart it to us. As I mentioned before, the meek shall inherit the earth. There's an inheritance. God is giving something. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His own Son. Right? Our God is a giving God, and He has the right to do it because He owns it. Romans 6:26 says, 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've established that by the mere fact that God is our Creator, that He owns us. But now He wants to give us a gift. He wants to give us eternal life. Israel read Romans 8, 16 and 17. It says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." An heir is somebody who receives an inheritance. Naboth appreciated and treasured the inheritance that he had received through promise. Through the Spirit of God, He calls us to be His children. And as children of God, we can have the right to be heirs and fellow heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for God's glory. I'd like to ask that the Lord God bless you and keep you, and let His light shine upon you and be gracious unto you.